This morning, America's First News starts right after this. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
The Delta Damage. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Wednesday, August 18th. Glad you could be with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
The U.S. is reporting more than 1,000 deaths in a single day from COVID for the first time since March as the Delta variant surges.
The Taliban is preventing Afghans from fleeing the country, using checkpoints to beat and whip those attempting to reach the airport.
On the weather front, proactive power shutoffs for a California wildfire while Tropical Depression Fred drenches the southeast.
And families in Afghanistan trying to avoid retribution from Taliban terrorists.
They had stopped sending those kids to school since they got the threat from the Taliban, afraid that they could get kidnapped. And he essentially said that his parents have told him, you know, that they've had a good life and they're not afraid to die, but they're very afraid of what will happen to, you know, children that young if they're killed by the Taliban.
Elizabeth Findell at the Wall Street Journal on Afghans living in America who are trying to save family members still in their homeland. The U.S. reported more than 1,000 COVID-19 deaths yesterday as the Delta variant continues to ravage parts of the country with low vaccination rates. Reuters says the last time we recorded more than 1,000 deaths on a daily basis was in March. The CDC says the South remains the epicenter of the latest outbreak. Dr. Luann Woodward is with the University of Mississippi Medical Center.
We do not have to be here, but this is where we are. Our healthcare workforce all across the state is traumatized.
Elsewhere, the Florida Board of Education voted unanimously to punish two school districts for implementing mask mandates that ran afoul of a state order. Punishment could include removing school leaders from office in Alachua and Broward counties. Also of note, Texas Governor Greg Abbott tested positive for COVID yesterday. He's fully vaccinated and asymptomatic. And New Zealand is under strict lockdown after one new case of the coronavirus was reported in Auckland. More than 2,200 diplomats and other civilians have been evacuated from Afghanistan on military flights as efforts gathered pace to get people out after the Taliban seized the capital. The U.S. said it had completed the evacuation of its embassy staff, leaving only a small contingent to process other departures. However, the Wall Street Journal says thousands of Afghans who had worked for Western organizations remain stranded and unable to reach the airport for evacuation as the Taliban erected checkpoints at the entrances to the airport, whipping and beating Afghans who attempted to cross. South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham.
President Biden's debacle here has led to tens of thousands of people who risk their lives to help us being left behind to be abused and murdered.
The Taliban have said they want peace. They will not take revenge against old enemies and would respect the rights of women within the framework of Islamic law. President Biden's approval numbers are slipping. The majority of surveys show Americans believe the nation is on the wrong track. Democrats fear the White House has faltered in getting out its message on core agenda items. And that was before the horrific scenes began to unfold in Afghanistan. Natasha Kurecki, White House correspondent at Politico, says the cataclysmic series of events over the last several days marked the most devastating period of the Biden presidency. Natasha, explain.
Even before Afghanistan and all this coverage we've seen, the images we've seen over the last, several days, he was already starting to slide. And that was largely driven by COVID, the resurgence of Delta, the hospitalizations that we were seeing increase over different parts of the country and the economy. for whatever reason, Americans, even when the economy was doing well, had a perception that it wasn't and were fearful of where it was headed. There's a lot of fear over inflation, which I know we hear about, a lot about. Pollsters are saying that that's one of the things they keep hearing, from voters in different surveys. And so it was starting to drive his numbers down. And, you know, it was right at a time when the White House was about to do this victory lap on this, you know, big bipartisan infrastructure deal. But just as that was happening, that's when all this Afghanistan stuff started unfolding.
Yeah. So you referenced before kind of the imagery of all this. I'm guessing for political purposes, it's just pretty easy for the average voter to absorb. Right. Just the scene of chaos. This becomes a political issue in some way, shape or form for Republicans.
It certainly does. I mean, Republicans believe that this is an opportunity for them to really, you know, prove up what they think has always been the case. And what they've argued is always, Biden is not a leader. He's hiding in Camp David. And, you know, they're trying to use all these images, the image of Biden alone at that table in Camp David, where there's all those seats empty around him. They're trying to make hay out of that. But mostly they're going at, and this is the danger for Biden. He really built his core around his ability to handle the world stage. You know, he had said since the primary, I am the person who you can separate from the pack, this huge pack of Democrats that were running back then, because he had all this experience as vice president. He had done all this travel. He, of course, had spent all this time in the Senate, four decades in the Senate, and heading up, the Foreign Affairs Committee in the Senate. So you have somebody who was really defining himself as somebody who I got this. I got China. I've got Afghanistan. I've got Russia. Like, I can handle, you know, all these overseas conflicts. And for this to happen now, it just really goes at leadership, and it goes at that credibility. And that is very harmful to Biden, because that is one of the central tenets of his brand and how he had built it.
Voters often are said to have short memories. Does the chaos in Afghanistan stay top of mind through next year's midterms, or perhaps in 2024?
Well, we really got mixed answers on that. We had people who talked to voters and, you know, said that, you know, it's 14 months from now, people are going to be caring about, you know, their health, their safety, and, you know, their jobs and the economy, and that it might come down to that.
Thanks, Natasha. Natasha Kurecki, White House correspondent at Politico. Coming up next, tracking storms in the Atlantic.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like you're going 100 miles an hour, barely keeping up. But to cruise through challenges, you need someone who's right there with you. That's what Dell Technologies advisors do. They have the tech advice you need to get past whatever's in front of you and get to where you want to go. Call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL and do more with modern devices and Windows 10 Pro.
Thanks for spending time with us, and welcome into Wednesday. Tropical Depression Fred is fizzling out, but forecasters have their eyes on at least two other storms. More now from this morning's Mike Gavin.
Fred spawned several tornadoes and dumped heavy rain across the southeast. The weakening storm was forecast to bring as much as 10 inches of rain in parts of Georgia and the southern Appalachians. Meanwhile, Tropical Storm Grace in the Caribbean was forecast to become a hurricane the next couple of days as it enters open water. A third storm in the Atlantic, Henry, was passing south of Bermuda, but is forecast to head north later in the week and spin out to sea before reaching the U.S. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. By tomorrow, by the way, central Appalachia and parts of the mid-Atlantic could see 2 to 4 inches of rain, with some areas reaching half a foot. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
As many as 15,000 Americans remain in Afghanistan after the Taliban's takeover of the country. Two Senate aides say they were given that figure in a briefing led by National Security and Defense officials, State Department spokesman Ned Price.
At the moment, we are doing everything we can to allow civilians to be able to transit to the airport.
By Tuesday night, about 1,100 U.S. citizens, permanent residents, and their families had been evacuated on 13 flights.
Number two.
A wildfire is raging through a small Northern California forest town, burning dozens of homes as dangerously dry and windy weather also continue to fuel other massive blazes and prompted the nation's largest utility to begin shutting off power to 51,000 customers. PG&E spokeswoman Tamar Sarkisian.
The majority of the customers are in the Sierra foothills, the north state up in Shasta, Butte counties.
The Caldor fire has burned an estimated 50 homes in and around Grizzly Flats.
Number three.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott has tested positive for COVID.
Also want you to know that I have received the COVID-19 vaccine, and that may be one reason why I'm really not feeling any symptoms right now. I have no fever, no aches and pains, no other types of symptoms.
Despite having no symptoms, Abbott's spokesman says the governor is receiving Regeneron's monoclonal antibody treatment. The positive test came less than 24 hours after Abbott posted photos and video of himself at a packed Republican event in North Texas with hundreds of people. Federal officials are extending into January a requirement that people on airline flights and public transportation wear face masks. The TSA's current order was scheduled to expire September 13th. Archaeologists in the ancient city of Pompeii have discovered a remarkably well-preserved skeleton during excavations of a tomb that also shed light on the cultural life of the city before it was destroyed by a volcanic eruption in AD 79. The bones and fabric fragments were found in a tomb in an area not yet open to the public. An inscription on the tomb suggests its owner, a freed slave, helped organize performances in Greek in Pompeii. Experts say it's the first confirmation that Greek, the language of culture in the Mediterranean, was used alongside Latin.
How do they figure that out?
No, isn't it amazing?
No.
It's the coolest place.
Yeah. Thank you, Jen.
Innovation, resilience, agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for being with us. If not now, when? That seems to be the sentiment of nearly 1 in 3 U.S. workers under the age of 40 who say they've thought about changing their occupation or field of work since the pandemic began, according to a Washington Post poll. In-depth analysis from Scott Clement, polling director at the Washington Post. Scott, what's the data say?
So we know that there's been a lot of disruption in the job market and, you know, a lot of attention to the kinds of working situations that are changing. We're wondering how many people have really rethought their situation, their goals, their career. We found 22% of U.S. workers overall saying that since the beginning of the pandemic, they can seriously considered changing their occupation or field of work. That peaked at 30% of people under age 40 that are working.
Wow. So in response to why did they say, I was miserable, didn't know it, I was miserable and this was my chance out, or I just smelled an opportunity and decided to jump at it?
Well, the survey itself didn't ask follow-up questions on why, but some follow-up interviews we conducted showed us a variety of scenarios, and some related to just the ability of younger people to move around, yeah, make different decisions. Some people, they were laid off and looked for other opportunities, such as going back to school, gaining a new degree that might lead to a different job. Others took the opportunity to move to a different place and seek out a variety of different opportunities. These are just things that may naturally be a little more common among younger people, and yet, still, even among people in their 40s, 21% said that they seriously considered a change.
Yeah. Among them, a guy you profiled at the beginning of the story, this Orlando Sions, explain what he went through.
Well, he was an executive assistant at a law firm in Austin, and he was, again, laid off. Many people were laid off last year, went back to community college, and worked toward being a paralegal. And it's interesting to see that it's a sort of a lateral move within the same field, so really taking an opportunity to advance as opposed to being an assistant role.
Mm. We're speaking with Scott Clement, Washington Post polling director. They've got a story entitled, "Nearly a Third of U.S. Workers Under 40 Considered Changing Careers During the Pandemic." You said, too, applications for new businesses exploded.
Yeah, and that was interesting because for many years, new business formation had been on the downswing. Some of other reporting has pointed to the stimulus checks throughout parts of last year that helped to boost that, particularly in some groups that may have been less likely to form businesses before.
How about this whole approach to nothing is guaranteed, folks looking for work-life balance, that's part of this too?
Well, there's certainly the disruptions of last year have had a different impact on everybody, and that's one revelation that came out in follow-up interviews, this idea that everything can change, and we even see that in the last couple months. Things looked like they were returning to normal fast, and then the Delta variant comes, and there's a bit of a reversion. And I think one thing that's interesting is it's opened people's minds to both the way things can change in a negative aspect for their lives, but also perhaps offering some more freedom in terms of the jobs they pursue and how they do their work.
Thanks, Scott. Scott Clement, polling director at the Washington Post. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. This is pretty sobering. Every 10 seconds, someone becomes a victim of fraud or ID theft. And even worse, 23% never recover their money. If you think it can happen to you, that's what they're counting on. But now, there's Aura. Aura is all-in-one protection from identity theft, financial fraud, malware, scam sites, and more. And Aura alerts you to fraud and threats fast, like if your online accounts or passwords were leaked or if someone tries to open a bank account in your name. It's a new type of security service that protects all of your online information with one simple subscription. Aura is easy to set up, and all plans come with $1 million in identity theft insurance to help recover your stolen funds and experienced U.S.-based customer support that's got your back. Right now, Aura is offering our listeners early access and 3 free months when you visit aura.com/Gordon. Go to aura.com/Gordon to get access before anyone else and 3 months for free. That's aura.com/Gordon.
The news without the nonsense. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Wednesday, August 18. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. More than 1,000 COVID deaths in a single day in the U.S. for the first time in 5 months. Biden administration says a fair amount of U.S. military equipment used by the Afghan army has been seized by the Taliban. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi wants a vote next week on a multi-trillion-dollar health care and climate package. We spent less last month on clothing, sporting goods, and furniture. As Tropical Storm Fred weakens, two other storms are being watched in the Atlantic, and the father-son bike ride of a lifetime. That story in about 20 minutes. Scores of Afghans currently living in America have spent the past 48 to 72 hours feverishly trying to save their family members who are left behind. The riveting stories from Elizabeth Findell, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Elizabeth, what are you hearing?
Yeah, I mean, it's just awful. You have people here in the United States trying everything to get their family members out. One gentleman who I spoke to who lives in Houston was, calling immigration just over and over again. He had been calling them for months. He was trying the Canadian embassy. He was trying members of Congress. And his family is in hiding in Kabul. Taliban fighters have already searched one of the family's homes, looking for the men of the family who are hiding out at another location, and their family had received a threat some months ago directly from the Taliban indicating that they knew that this man in Houston had worked for the U.S. government as an interpreter.
Wow.
And were targeting his family.
Well, that's just terrifying stuff. I mean, what does he go through? Because you said in some situations, like the internet is turned off, phone is turned off, right? It's like trying to communicate with somebody back in the 80s again.
Yeah, absolutely. When last I spoke to him, he had been in contact with his mother off and on, who had a phone, but he had had no contact with his dad, who had, basically fled the family home to hide somewhere else. And the mother was hunkered down with their three youngest children, who were 8, 6, and 5. And they had stopped sending those kids to school since they got the threat from the Taliban, afraid that they could get kidnapped. And he essentially said that his parents have told him, you know, that they've had a good life and they're not afraid to die, but they're very afraid of what will happen to, you know, children that young if they're killed by the Taliban.
We're speaking with Elizabeth Findell, U.S. News reporter at The Wall Street Journal. Her and the team have put together a story called Afghans in America Try to Save Family Members as Options Dwindle. You referenced children. Did you say, too, that daughters 12 and older are being hidden, right, in basements and stuff?
We have heard that was from an Afghan-American activist who said she had been hearing from families trying to flee that they were hiding their daughters, afraid that they could be forced into marriages. I spent Sunday afternoon with a gentleman here in Austin, where I live, who told me that his sisters are in hiding for that reason, as they're in their 20s and they're unmarried. And that's definitely a fear of young women right now.
There was a gentleman also who had been killed right along the way, and now his family members are not eligible any longer for that special immigrant visa because he helped U.S. forces, right? So
yes.
Now he can't sign on to that visa. I guess that's how that works.
Yes, that was a really sad situation. Essentially, he had disappeared and is presumed dead. But without him, they can't apply for a visa. His children were still in Afghanistan and had gotten apart from their mother and had gotten some leeway in trying to come to the U.S., but they weren't able to get a second necessary visa that they needed on top of this humanitarian parole that they were granted.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Elizabeth Findell, reporter at The Wall Street Journal. Coming up next, that crazy dad in Idaho breaks another record.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like the course keeps changing right before your eyes. Whoa! And in order to maneuver it, you need an expert by your side. That's what Dell Technologies advisors do. They have the tech solutions you need to help you get out in front and stay ahead of the game. Woo! Call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL and do more with modern devices in Windows 10 Pro.
Today's Mic Drop is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Wednesday. It's time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, you know, this time yesterday we were telling you about the most luxurious bathrooms in America. Today we talk about someone who could maybe be called on to help service those sparkling lavatories. David Rush, who we've talked about several times before as he hangs out in Idaho breaking Guinness World Records, more than 200 in all, has done it again, this time by balancing over 100 toilet paper rolls on his forehead. Rush said that the toilet paper rolls were particularly difficult to balance since they are soft and more difficult to get an even balance. After several failed attempts, he figured out that an inverted pyramid was the best way to do it, which meant that he balanced 100 rolls stacked on top of a single roll that he had balanced on his forehead for more than 36 seconds to take the record.
Yeah, so he literally used small pieces of cardboard.
Right, like in between each row, I guess,
stack each level.
Right. So, yeah, he kind of branched out the inverted pyramid and then kind of got skinny again at the top.
Right.
But the whole thing balanced on his forehead on a single roll. And I couldn't believe, I thought maybe, you know, when reading about this, I thought maybe, okay, maybe balance it for 5 or 10 seconds.
Yeah.
I didn't know how long. I watched the video and it was like 36 seconds. And finally, he could have even gotten longer. And he, at one point, he was just like, yeah, I got this, and just like threw him off of his head.
It's 36 seconds of glory. glory.
Yeah, glory.
But I mean, yes, that was a lot of work.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it, the video. How long is the video? 10 minutes, and it's right, edited, and you know, he constantly loads them up. They fall over.
Yeah.
He's got to restack them. You know, the kids are running around.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it shouldn't be easy to break one of these records. Right. I guess it should take some amount of effort,
right,
which he certainly puts into them. So good for him.
Does it strike you that this would be an easy one to beat?
I mean,
for somebody like him.
It does
101 rolls.
Yeah, yeah. Right? I mean, I don't know what they didn't tell us what the previous record was,
yeah,
right? So we don't know for sure. It could have been three for all we know, and he was just showing off. I mean, at this point, that's kind of where he's gotten to with these things. He needs like a higher bar to,
yeah,
clear when it comes to breaking
this,
records.
This is definitely therapeutic in some way,
yes,
for him to do this.
For sure.
He doesn't have to worry about the kids, yeah, running around. I don't know. He concentrates on other things.
Yes. And we know that Gordon Deal enjoys a good banana before a workout, but I don't think I've ever seen him eat one the way one college quarterback does, or at least did this one time in a video that's now gone viral. Kentucky quarterback Will Levis has caused a stir in recent days after a video was shared on Twitter of him chowing down on a banana without removing the peel. The banana peel was extremely ripe, adding to the horror for some who watched the video, nearly 400,000 in all. Now, we're not sure if this is how Levis eats all of his bananas, if he was just feeling particularly hungry this day. In any case, he might be onto something. USA Today cited a WebMD article indicating that while not a popular source of nutrition in Western countries, banana peels are not only safe to eat, but also offer a number of health benefits.
Is that right?
Yes, but you've never even considered that before,
no,
have you? Just because I know you eat a lot of bananas.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, I have one sitting in my car right now,
right,
waiting for me when I leave.
Ready to go. It would be a lot easier for all of us if we didn't have to peel them,
yeah,
off and just go ahead and take a bite. Now, one thing he didn't do, or at least not in the video, he didn't look like he washed the peel. It would be nice probably if he,
okay,
if he washed it off and made it clean first.
Yeah.
But it was very, what I didn't like, you know, and some other people didn't like, it was very dark. It was very ripe, you know, and
yeah,
I don't even eat bananas, even peeling them when they're that dark on the outside. I don't even want,
yeah,
I even want to know what's inside a banana.
When they get squishy.
At that point. Yeah, yeah. I don't like a squishy banana.
But it looked like he just peeled the stem.
Yeah.
And then ate the rest.
Right.
Including that bottom part.
Right. Yeah, you know, exactly.
That hard bottom,
yeah,
part. You know,
yes, it seemed to be hard to digest. That,
yeah,
that's just a just what it looks like to me.
But I will try that.
You will try
it. I am going to try. I don't know if I'm going to eat the whole thing, but I'm going to at least break off a piece of the peel of the banana,
uh-huh,
and give that a shot.
All right. Good luck with that. Perhaps,
yeah,
some video will be in order on that.
We'll
one.
Do it today. I'll let you know. Thank you, Mike. Staying sharp is how businesses stay successful. But the guys at Harry's, they took it literally. Their business stays sharp because their products do. In a recent study, Harry's customers said their eighth shave was as smooth as their first. Redeem a Harry's trial set when you go to harrys.com/deal and see if you agree. They craft their blades in their own German factory to make sure they meet their high standards. They're so confident in them, they offer a 100% money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. And the bottom line is, you get a great shave and end up looking pretty sharp as a result. Harry's is giving their best offer to our listeners. New Harry's customers can redeem a starter set for just $3 at harrys.com/deal. You'll get a 5-blade razor, a weighted handle, foaming shave gel with aloe, and a travel cover to protect your blades when you're on the go. That's a $13 value for just $3. There's never been a better time to try Harry's. Visit harrys.com/deal to try Harry's today. Thanks for joining us. Here's something to watch for. Insurance companies and police have their eyes on a couple of high-tech vehicle theft tools that may develop. Key learning and relay hacking both require organization and resources that make them unlikely tools to steal common vehicles like your F-150. Here's how they work. One is relay boosting. This is an electronic device used to boost the signal from a key fob so the vehicle can be unlocked or started in a parking lot or driveway. Because you couldn't start the vehicle again without the fob, relay boosting may be better suited to stealing objects in a vehicle than the whole vehicle. A second is key learning. This is where electronic devices learn a vehicle's electronic code and program it into a new key fob. That's how locksmiths can program a replacement fob for an owner at a cost well below what dealers charge. But you need to be in the vehicle in close physical proximity to its electronics to program a new fob. So keep your car locked. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Just days into a new school year, thousands of kids are under quarantine in public school districts across the U.S. after being exposed to COVID Cases and hospitalizations among children are on the rise, with the highly contagious Delta variant making up about 90% of new infections among kids. Harris County, Texas Judge Alina Hidalgo.
The Delta variant continues to spread like wildfire throughout Harris County. It is straining our hospital system, is hospitalizing a record number of children, including those without underlying conditions.
Ware County in Georgia closed all its public schools due to a sharp increase in cases.
Number two.
A weakening tropical depression, Fred, is trekking inland as it spawned several tornadoes and dumped heavy rain across the southeast. Meanwhile, tropical storm Grace in the Caribbean was forecast to become a hurricane as it continues to drench Haiti, still reeling from a massive earthquake that has killed almost 2,000 people. Sarah Charles of USAID.
Because of the extensive damage to roads and bridges that has made ground transportation challenging, we've also requested additional support from the Department of Defense for air defense transport to affected areas. And the
U.S.
helicopters are on their way.
Utility firm PG&E is warning some customers in Northern California that may have to proactively turn off power for safety this week amid weather conditions that increase the risk of wildfires. Spokeswoman Tamar Sarkeesian.
We're not seeing the very large PSPS outages that we had seen a couple of years ago.
The shutoff could affect about 51,000 customers. Georgia's Republican-controlled state election board plans to take a step today toward a possible eventual takeover of elections in the state's most populous county that critics argue could open elections up to political interference. GOP lawmakers last month asked the state board to appoint a panel to investigate Fulton County's handling of elections. Fulton County is a Democratic stronghold that includes most of Atlanta. A rare framed photograph of Susan B. Anthony is being auctioned with a starting price of $5,000. The photo was discovered in a concealed attic space in a building in Geneva, New York, after the property was sold in December. The photo was taken in 1905, just months before Anthony's death. It's thought to be one of four that exist. After purchasing the New York property, the owner noticed water damage in the ceiling and found a trove of objects that had been sealed by the drop ceiling and abandoned for decades.
Wow, that's $5,000.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a lot, does it?
Right.
We'll bid it up.
Tom Brady, LeBron James, they go for like millions. It's Susan B. Anthony, like legendary women's rights pioneer. $5,000.
It'll go higher.
Thanks, Jen.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit MichiganBusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's MichiganBusiness.org/radio.
Here's an update from a previous story. Shepard Culver had dreamed of seeing the Statue of Liberty after 18 weeks and 3,300 miles, pedaling his bicycle for every single one of them. He made it to the New York City landmark. As CBS News reported in June, he had convinced his dad, James, to do the cross-country trip starting from their home in Washington State by bicycle. It was an amazing feat given Shepard is only 9. He told CBS that as a kid, he's got lots of energy, was asked if his legs were tired, said, well, not as much as my dad's. They started the adventure in 2019, but had to stop when Shepard kept getting headaches and was diagnosed with diabetes. Nothing stopped them, though, this time around. Dad James said he felt like he invested his time as his dad really well here. Shepard is home now, reunited with his mom Monday, but he's still riding high from his summer adventure with his dad. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy.